Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous-led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hello and welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. My name is Melissa Spence. I am coming to you from Las Vegas, and I would love to introduce my co-host, Professor Collinglass.
I know, it's one of my titles now. I can't believe it. And that's the third time I've been called that today ever in my whole life. And it's kind of surreal.
So much has happened since our last episode, which looks like was only like 15 days ago. It feels like it's been an eternity since the last time we recorded, but I want you to tell me what your first day was like being an actual educator now at the University of Montana. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. So I don't even know where to start. I'm kind of like, so I just got out of class. I have a class of about 30 people. There's one Native girl in there, and I got home and told my mom who she was and where she lived. And she's like, oh, she's your cousin. Like,
oh my goodness. Of course.
Right. Cause my grandma was part of these 10 brothers and sisters. And one of the sisters married a Conley. That's her. And my grandma married Danans. Then anyway, it was freaking put off the syllabus. And in my head, I felt like I started in September. And I've been thinking and I've been really excited because that's what I do as a rogue scientist anyway. That's how I started Indigenous Vision. I was just like, dang it, I'm just going to include my culture. And I don't care what anybody says. Like at one point in time, I made a decision in my career that I would either be and strive to be multiple publications, like esteemed scientist and part of academy type things. It could have been that, or I wanted to focus on the traditional aspects of our sciences and our culture. And I think culture absolutely belongs in the sciences, Indigenous culture specifically. Yeah, so I decided to go rogue. I started Indigenous Vision. And that was the idea, was to just create my own projects and all of that good stuff. And that's how the CWD monitoring project came about, and the place map, and all of the language stuff. And because in place names, we find a lot of traditional ecological knowledge and place characterizations. But oh my goodness, Melissa, I'm still trying to put it all together, I think. Because today was Onan's first day of school too. So I've got, and we cried, and he did much better than I did when I first went to school. I kicked and screamed and hit and
wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to school. I was three. And so he's five. This is his first day of school. But oh my goodness, I wasn't really too worried because I was looking at my schedule yesterday, and I saw that we had a podcast today, and I saw that I had brackets around things and things arrowed over to other days. And I was like, what's going on, Suta? What did you do? And class is today, starts today instead of next Tuesday. And then I looked at the academic calendar and I was like, oh, yep, school's starting today. And so I've been plucking away at the syllabus, and I only received it about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, maybe. And then we had those grant submissions. And so I only got about a month into it, but I got, instead of books and extensive writing, we're going to be doing more experiential learning and group dialogues around articles that I select and around different topics. And I'm just so excited.
Are you going to be implementing little drops of cultural humility here and there?
Yes, I am. And
exciting.
No, because I was thinking about it last night and what to include in my syllabus and like the direction I wanted to take these people. And I have a captive audience of 30 people for like a couple of months, a couple times a week. And that's a lot of it. That's a lot of time for people, right?
It's a lot of free advertising.
So today's lesson was called Introduction to Chorus and TEK, Lessons and Observations, Role of Dreams and Sacred Contracts. Oh, I just see a edit I need to fix, but that's today's. And I did a presentation that I did down in Tucson, and I was a keynote for a tribal environmental professionals conference. It's called Sacred Relationships. And this is a presentation that I talked over with a couple of my bundle mothers, probably in 2010, 2011. And then this presentation's not till 2015 is when I did it. But it was such a great presentation. And it kind of like maybe forecasted how beautifully insane life has just been, like, coincidentally happening to me. You know, I put coincidentally in like little
right. And we were talking about this yesterday, and just how great of a summer we are having. When we wanted to record this, I didn't know that today would be your first day of school. So I think it's an even better quote unquote coincidence that you just happened to have your first teaching class. But because I was telling you, I had such an amazing week last week with my birthday, and I had this wonderful musical festival, and I just really came back to myself, and I feel like I'm fully out of this pandemic dreary mode that I was in for 2 years, and I had like one of the best times ever. And then the guilt started to kind of creep into the back of my mind. And we were talking about when we have these wonderful experiences, when we're actually living our dreams and watching it materialize and we're experiencing it in real time, I sometimes feel guilty, and I need to like shut that off and get over it, because I think I deserve everything that is happening to me. And I truly believe that my ancestors are so proud of everything that I've done to get to this point and live the life that they couldn't, and I am so wonderfully. So I struggle sometimes with that. And I think this would be a great topic for today, because all of our dreams are slowly coming true. And sometimes I feel bad, which is so lame.
It's super lame, Melissa, to feel that way, because you shouldn't. And I should follow my own advice that I'm about to. But you worked hard for this. You worked hard for everything. Like, we sacrificed, and we lived really slim. And we remember when we would throw in on eggs together?
Yeah. Oh, God. I've had so many roommates. There's been so many times where I've worked 14-hour days for years on end, years on end. I don't know if people realize how hard I used to go to get to where I am.
Yeah. And so it's not all like, it's not all coincidental or not from nothing. You know, I think we put our work in, and I think this is what happens when you, and that's what I read. And like, I read a lot of business and success type things, motivational things. And it says, in your 20s, you just use that youth, use that energy, and grind hard. And it makes sense, because we're all at that age, we're like all trying to party and live, right?
Yep.
And experience and adventure. But I use that time to make a couple of businesses and fail, and then grow, and then sell one of those businesses. It was a really fun time in my 20s, but I grinded hard. And then into my 30s, I started getting more adamant about what kind of scientist I wanted to be. And then I started advocating for that, because I knew what I wanted. And it was to put culture into all of our environmental management and in our everyday business and relational practices. And so I worked hard for it. And then, you know, I had that total Cinderella moment, kind of. I don't know if that's the right description for it, but it, you know, last weekend I found myself at a POSUP resort, and as one of the featured project partners in this fundraiser for working dogs. And it was just amazing. And I did sense a couple of looks change after, like before and after my introduction, right? What we do really does determine how people treat us and what they assume about us. But overall, it was a really, really amazing experience. And I met so many amazing people. And one lady was like phenomenally, like she knew strategy and she picked me out and she's like, I'll teach you. Like, yes, teach me, because I want to be on par with everybody else in the world. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be not on par. I want to be the best I can be, whatever that is, you know, but I want to break these like intergenerational poverty scripts, mentalities, instances of imposter syndrome, whether or not we feel like we belong, you know, like, and that's part of the mapping project too, is to help kids feel like they belong no matter where they are off the res, because within sight is a sacred or significant site that they've learned about off this map through their teachers or just exploring on their own. But that's important, right? The identity and imposter syndrome and confidence and and keeping that confidence. But yeah, I'm a little brain scrambled right now because
you're in the dream moment.
I'm still processing, but we shouldn't be ashamed about our accomplishments or how hard we've worked. And I think a lot of people, you and I aren't really people to go on social media and be like FML, like this is wrong and this is wrong. I think we're probably friends, I'm thinking, because we turned that same page at the same time where we became adamantly disciplined about how we talk to ourselves and what we allow in our lives. And I think that's what really brought us together, is I fell in love with your discipline, your ability to say, no, this is what I want. And then you just did it. Even if it was something really hard, like going vegan, just overnight.
Or quitting drinking all of a sudden. Like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to give myself credit, but I think it's the shine, the guilt of shining publicly is what I struggle with as well, because I look back and I sometimes forget of all the things I've accomplished. You know, I had this really successful radio career in Canada. You know, I did a lot of really incredible things. I won awards and I forget about that. And I think that when I let myself shine, I feel like, oh, I shouldn't be too bright, because there are so many people I know who are still struggling with addictions, who are still out there lost because they don't really know who they are. They've lost themselves along the way, and I've totally been there. So I feel really reluctant sometimes to let myself shine on a public platform, which, because I lived so publicly, especially with the emergence of social media in the past like 15 years, I really find myself holding back sometimes when I achieve a lot of things, because, oh, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, but I just don't want to seem like I'm trying to rub it in people's faces. And I came across a post that said, you know, don't take it as a front or that I'm trying to like stunt on anybody. I'm really just celebrating myself and putting it out there. And I'm learning how to celebrate myself without feeling guilty anymore because of where I come from.
Yeah. And it reminds me of another post I saw, something along that lines, is that if you're looking at my posts and you think that I'm boasting or bragging, then something along the lines of maybe you should stop thinking about me and start thinking about what you should be doing in your life. Cause it's, and then scrolling down the timeline, it's not a competition, because I get joy and pleasure out of seeing other people succeed.
Yeah. Like when you posted your glam tent at your Paws Up resort, I thought, holy smokes, that is so beautiful. I wouldn't sit there and be like, she obviously did something to get to that point that doesn't add up with me. Or, you know, there was no feeling of like, it was like, yes, Suta is there because she worked her ass off to get there. And look at her at a fundraiser with all of the people that she wants to be around, doing the things that she wants to do in the most incredible environment ever. Like, yeah. I was so happy to see that, because not a lot of us do. And you're shining the light somewhere where we weren't able to see before. Like, you're literally forging a path, a trailblazing path that none of us have ever seen before.
Wow. So you just reminded me of a crazy time. For the year before Indigenous Vision got incorporated, and for almost a year and a half, 2 years after I incorporated, nobody believed my projects. I had one funder tell me, I don't see how maps can help protect water. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, watershed manager, and we need to know where things are, and we need to know where our significant places are in proximity to this. And how do we know what to protect as water protectors if we don't know where the danger is? And, you know, I mean, I can go off on that, but I've been called a phantom organization, even within corporation. I just had to do a lot of talking because I believed in my projects and I believed in myself. And I had to just, you know, get that thick skin when people would be like, is this a phantom organization? And I say, no, I have a 501c3. I did all the paperwork. And it's just, and then all of a sudden I find myself at this multi-million dollar ranch property where people like the Rolling Stones stay when they come do concerts here. And the room costs somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 a night. And I had an early hike plan the next morning. And then my bear deterrent, he's a professional Glacier National Park hiker, my cousin. And he was going to meet us there. He never sees bears on his hike. And I always see some predator. But I didn't go because he had an emergency canceled. And then I couldn't sleep. Because I just couldn't close my eyes. Like, it was too luxurious and I was overwhelmed. Like Tina said, I was overwhelmed with comfort and I was just like so comfortable and so overwhelmed. And it was so nice. And it's because I want glamping tents. It's been my dream to have a glamp teepee for like 20 years. And so I was taking in all the details. And then I was taking so much footage, mostly because it's market analysis. One day I'm going to have mine. And then just documenting the experience. And when I was posting, exactly what you said, I had a tinge of guilt because of knowing how poor I grew up and knowing that my community and my family were still struggling with bills and exorbitant amounts of violence and lateral violence, all that stuff. We're just, you know, we struggle. And so I thought about posting it and how it would make people feel. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to mirror it or I guess send it out from that perspective. And you know what? I shouldn't care either, because this is something that I really worked to get to. And all of a sudden, and I felt the same way when I won the Roddenberry Fellowship Award. And then all of a sudden, now I'm kind of regularly finding myself in those beautiful rooms in Brooklyn. And it's just wild. It's just wild, Melissa.
It is wild. And I'm totally here for it. And I think it's just the beginning, because we're still considered pretty young in our careers professionally. So I think we got a good 20 to 30 more of this. And I am so excited to celebrate even more achievements and goals and dreams with you along the way. I think that's the beauty of life now. This is what we worked hard for.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't want to slow down on the grind or the hustle. Like, I feel like I'm almost picking up because I'm getting more resources and better capacity and more people helping me. So I feel like it is just the beginning, and I'm not ready to like sit back and relax and enjoy the niceties of it. I'm still grinding hard to make it happen, to get it to where I want to be, because I want my own institute and I want an endowment. And then I want to find a director who is equally passionate and then move myself to the board and retire.
Exactly. I want to stay in the glamp camp environment for the rest of my days. That's how I would like to retire, not as a retreat, as a way to live. I think Absolutely. That's my goal, is to be as comfortable as possible, to be as fulfilled as possible. Because like I said, I look in hindsight of where I've come from, what my parents went through, my grandparents, and I absolutely have a birthright to it.
Oh my goodness. I could see you there. We're going to have to save up $1,000 and go spend the night. But
heck,
Trixie's,
yeah.
Trixie's place is our priority, I think, for that.
Yeah. We'll be regulars at the Trixie Motel in Palm Springs. Another one who's doing her dreams.
Oh my goodness. Trixie, can you be a guest, please?
Would love to. But our last episode was all about the winds of like Indigenous women that's been going down lately. And this episode just is like the perfect follow-up, in my opinion.
It is. It's pretty amazing. And that I see so much of my friends on my timeline succeeding this year as well. And it's just, I don't know, like you said, it's so good to be out of that, the dreariness of 2020. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I haven't like walked in my heels since 2019 practically. And I put my heels on today and I was like, yes, here I go stomping all over campus.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. I was also wearing like pretty big shoes on my birthday weekend and I was, you know, clapping all over Las Vegas. And I thought, this is why I am alive. This is the feeling, you know, and I took it in. There were so many moments where I had to just pause and be like, this is the best ever. Like I am living my literal dream and I can't believe it.
Yeah. Those concert videos you took just made me wish for good music here in Missoula. And I haven't gone out at all, really. I used to go to shows a lot. Dated the band member type thing, but I miss a good show and your videos just made me wish a little bit. And what was your favorite, like what was the highlights of your—
The highlight was this festival is known for having insane reunions that never happen, bands that will play a show that they haven't done for 20 years. So the band that I had gone to see was Merciful Fate, which is like a pioneer of black metal from 1981, which is the year I was born. And they hadn't played a show in the North America or Turtle Island for 23 years. So for them to play on my birthday weekend, and they even have a song called Melissa, like I'm not even making this up. So they're like one of my favorite bands, their album's called Melissa. They have a song called Melissa. It's like a love ballad. So while it was playing Suta, I like got choked up. I was like, this is too good. I know it's, to a lot of people, it's just rock and roll, but like, it is my life. And it was so perfect. I was like, my birthday, we're done with the pandemic. This is the most beautiful environment I've ever been in. I feel 100% great. Like it was just almost too much. So if you don't know, I'm a huge music person. Like that's what I do. I had a record label, radio shows. I go to concerts, been going since I was like 14. So it's like a really, really big part of my life. So to see the world in full swing again and to experience live music, to go out with people, meeting people from all over the world, it was just so incredible. I had the most wonderful time. And again, I was hesitant to share how much of a great time I was having. Cause I was like, it's my birthday. The pandemic's over. This festival's amazing. All my favorite bands are here. I felt like I was with, you know, a group of people that I hadn't seen for years or felt that community environment of like this hardcore music group that is always seen as other, but here we came together in a really upscale place in Las Vegas and we're accepted and embraced and we're able to just be ourselves for 3 whole days. It was just, I felt changed after. I know that sounds crazy. I felt changed.
Not at all. And let me tell you the TEK behind that. Melissa, that sounds like an amazing weekend. And I really do love some of my friends that I've met at shows because we're the most sensitive, feeling, emotional, solid, grounded, down-to-earth people who are just so pure-hearted. And it's crazy how society will just judge somebody because they wear a color. Isn't that super?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? What's wrong with us? But what happened? So in that Masaru Emoto study about water crystals and structure of water molecules, and how our energy transmission and music sometimes often has an impact on the structures of water molecules. And they found that certain frequencies would put structures into the molecular structures into beautiful crystalline snowflake looking things. And other music like heavy metal would flatten out that snowflake, almost like a reset. And horrible words, I won't say any today because it's not too good of a day. Horrible words, things we tell ourselves and tell others when we want to harm them. That turned the water brown and made like these irregular misfolded crystals that just looked like, you know, the spiders on drug spiderweb type things. Heavy metal you know, and I had to disagree with Masaru Emoto. He's very well respected, and he's creating quite the movement and seeing the world in a different way and looking deeper into things. But him and some of the people who talk about this show the slides and the effects of music and words on molecular structures of water molecules, and heavy metal flattened it out and made look a puddle looking thing, but it did not have the same dark, dirty looking color to it that bad words had. So me being a music lover and being exposed to all different kinds of punk rock, reggae, ska, heavy metal, underground, garage type, you know, and then top 40 type stuff, and just being a music junkie, you know, being the kid with my head between the speakers so I could hear it and feel it as loud as possible. And it's because when we project frequencies from us, you know, people to people, or when we listen to music, or when we think in certain ways, we arrange our internal molecular structure. That's what makes up our body. And I feel like you felt reset, because my theory, instead of a heavy metal being like, oh, it's so bad, it ruined this beautiful crystalline snowflake structure, but there was no dark color and it didn't have an ominous look to it. Like, one of the most horrible words that we have in our English vocabulary almost had a face of a person screaming in it, like that. My theory is that it's a reset. Heavy metal is a reset, and it literally will vibrate your molecular structure to reset. And so then it's up to you and the power of your mind, and you're so adamant and disciplined on the good way, right? That's what was.
Thank you. I've never heard it like that before. Because, you know, I've heard you talk about how the words can literally affect water, but then I was like, wait a minute, there's water in me. And that makes total sense, because I was around it over and over, absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. And I really did feel the next day changed. I felt like I had been through like something almost spiritual. I just felt, wow, I feel so refreshed. I feel so good about my life. I just had to like take a day to process it. Like, it was that, I felt that compelled to just live an even better life after a music festival.
Yeah.
I know that might sound crazy to some people, but no. That's what I find joy in. So when I was in that joy state for 3 days straight, I came out like a changed person. It was incredible.
That sounds like you went on like a vision quest or something.
And I did so much reflecting on, like, again, because I was like, looking around, I'm like, I worked so hard to get here. Enjoy it, Melissa. Stop letting that intrusive thought come in of like, I feel guilty. I wish there was someone from my family who could be seeing this, or I could share this with someone who's never experienced it before. And I'm like, just take it in. Just stop that thought. Just take it all in and enjoy it. And oh, I did.
Goodness. That's what I'm trying to practice right now. I don't know what they officially call it or what kind of practice it is, because I haven't read anything specific to it. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of everything I've read. But if I'm thinking something imposter syndrome, like guilt driven, worrisome, fear, loathing, I literally tell myself, no, Sutta, I'm okay. I love me. I love me.
You have to do it. You have to literally tell yourself to stop it, because it's just you in there. I learned that from Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle taught me how to catch a thought like it's going by on an assembly line and like reach for it and be like, no, you're not going any further.
Yes. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we have to be strong. Our minds can really mess us up.
Oh, I know too much about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a worrier. Like, I could be a serious risk management, like, professional, I think. Cause I think about, you know, the issues, the problems, and then maybe problems that come from that. But in the world of like manifesting what you want, you have to think about that worry and say, okay, Sutta, thank you for bringing that up. I am aware of that now, but it's probably not going to happen. I'm excited. And that's what I told my son this morning. I said, every time you feel scared, say, I'm excited. Just say it. Even if you feel like you're crying and you feel scared and you're all full of fear, just say, I'm excited. Because I think what we tell ourselves, and if we repeat it enough, it becomes very powerful. So if you say, oh, I'm such a dummy, or oh, I hate this, well, that's what's going to happen. Duh.
Right. Oh, I love that you told him that, because I've also, with the feeling of fear, I've also been controlling, taking it back and being like, no, this is not scary. This is super exciting. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen, because whatever does happen, I will be okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Indigenous vision is getting bigger. The bigger the success, the bigger the fail, right?
So. It is. You know what? I could feel this momentum building, and it's exciting. It's truly exciting to experience.
Yeah. And so I had a, you know, over this last year, I seen the potential, and I seen everything I've been talking about and working for and trying to organize coming true. And I started to get removed a little bit, and thinking too much into the worries or how to prevent the worries, and thinking about the things that can go wrong. And then I stopped it. And I decided to just enjoy myself while things are going on, and I'm having the meetings and conversations and presentations I'm having, just enjoy myself, talk about what you love. If the organization tanks, knock on wood, it's still not a failure, because it's a success. Right now it's a success, and starting it was a success, and getting it to this point where we have the general operating budget of like 180, and we got another accountant on board recently. So we have one account, we have two accountants now, and one accountant does payroll and 990s, so our taxes. And then this other accountant is going to help me create really tight general operating budgets and project budgets, and then just get those to mirror each other. Yeah, because I'm working on our transparency. I want to, you know, fight those assumptions that Native people don't know how to manage money, or don't know how to manage projects or sustain projects. We can, and I think we're in with the right crowd, because we're in women's justice, ethics, and really the culture humility aspect of the foundations and funders who are supporting us, because they're about letting the community speak. They're about seeking justice and finding the solutions from within the community. And I don't feel, yeah, I just feel really blessed and lucky and blessed. And
we're super blessed.
Thank you.
So let's own it.
Yes, yes. Don't be afraid. Celebrate yourself. And I kind of got one of my ceremony sisters got after me one time a few years ago. And when I got my pipe transferred, and she was like, in much better words, she was like, dang it, Suta, you need to celebrate what you accomplish. Because I didn't tell anyone when I graduated, didn't tell anyone when I got my master's. And I'm gonna cry again. But it's because of that we should be proud, right? And not hiding what we've worked so hard for. Because if we can do it, then there's 10 little girls behind us thinking, I can do it too, and I can do it better. And that's how our communities get better. Is there some little girl behind me thinking she can do this better? And heck yes, girl, you can, and I'll help you. So come on over. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. You can find out more about us on our official website, including how to contact us, make a donation, or play back any of our music radio shows or this podcast. Don't forget to share with your friends and write a review if you've got time. We totally appreciate you sharing your time with us.